Blog Talk Radio.
Videotape. The number is 646-595-4038. I am your host. To close the heaven, Hollywood Clark. It is the close and the comic. The SLV show. Live on Dollhouse Radio, of course. Special shout out to Dan Morrell. And welcome to another Action Pack Sports Talk Show, where we talk sports exclusively and we give you the opportunity to talk. You don't have to hold on for an hour and then get a chance to talk for 2 minutes, like all these other radio shows. I want you to call up, express your opinion. We don't kill you and hang up on you for your opinion, like a lot of the other radio stations do. You feel as though your opinion matters on this show. It is SLV show, the hottest new sports entertainment show. My partner, the comic, is not available today. I will be bringing in my closer from the bullpen, an emergency. I mean, Jimmy Yates, producer extraordinaire and host of the Bench Warmers and a lot of other things here in Dollhouse Radio. We have a special guest today. Former NFL All-Pro Ken_Hamlin on Twitter. The guy that I said could play on the Legion of Boom right now. Because to me, in 2005 as a Steeler fan, I was happy as hell he wasn't in that Super Bowl. Because Ken Hamlin, if you remember that hit on Dante Stallworth, my God. Knocked his head off. And that's what people start recognizing about Ken Hamlin. I like to say he's one of the originators of the Legion of Boom. And he wasn't even playing when the Legion of Boom came up. So we do have Ken Hamlin available at 6:30. The number is 646-595-4038. March Madness is in full effect. Can anyone beat Kentucky? They beat Cincinnati today. Cincinnati hung with them for a little bit in the first half. But Kentucky just too big, too strong, too talented, too deep. So they'll move on to the Sweet 16, as everyone would suspect. Who can beat Kentucky, if anyone? 646-595-4038. Press 1 if you want to talk. Can anyone beat the Kentucky team, freshmen's, Big Blue? We'll see, as the tournament goes on. They pretty much dispensed of Cincinnati. They pulled away in the second half. Cincinnati kept it close for a little bit. But we'll see what happens with them. Also, the Jim Boeheim press conference, did he help or hurt his cause? You know, Jimmy Boeheim, you know, as you know, he's now retiring in 3 years. He had a press conference to let people know that. And anyone want to talk about that situation, that mess over in Syracuse, you're welcome to. Let me bring in my co-host for the day. None other than Jimmy Ace, coming in out the bullpen, getting the right-hander, signaling for the right-hander. Jimmy Ace.
Yes. Yes, I'm inching closer to the all-time save record. I'm inching closer. Getting a little bit closer,
A little bit closer to Mariano.
Yeah, Mariano Rivera. And guess what? If Kentucky wins, you know what that means usually. Usually when Kentucky Wildcats win, Yankees have a chance to win a championship. That usually happens most of the time. Just saying. I'm not trying to be all bold. I'm just putting something out there. This was a
whenever Kentucky wins, the Yankees win, or well, the Kentucky won 2 years ago, didn't they?
They won last year. UConn won last year.
I think it's like 1 year before. Did the Yankees win the year before?
Well, like I said, most of the time. That's why I said most. I didn't say every time. That's the key. All right. And by the way. When I hear the nickname Big Blue, I think of my New York Football Giants. I don't think of Kentucky Wildcats, okay? That's for those people out there in the Midwest and stuff, Kentucky. No offense to Kentucky. I love Kentucky because the Yankees use Kentucky bluegrass in their field. And I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I love the Louisville Slugger. A lot of things I love about Kentucky. So much love to Kentucky. Shout out to Kentucky.
So, as we're going along in March Madness, like I said, this is, we've already had one controversial ending. That was the UCLA upsetting Larry Brown, the SMU team, on a goaltend that many people thought was not a goaltend. You know, a lot of people thought that ball was an air ball. Some people said it was definitely off to the right. A lot of people said it would not even reach the cylinder. And it was Steve Alford, who is the head coach of UCLA's son. I believe it's his son, Bryce Alford. He ended up going. He ended up getting credit for a three-pointer on a goaltend, which you never see.
Yes.
So
yes.
He ended the game 9-for-11 from three-point land. UCLA, remember, a team that everyone said didn't even belong in a tournament. And then they go out there today and win again. So how many times have we seen this, a team that a lot of people say they don't belong in the tournament, and then they go out there and they win a couple of games, not in the Sweet 16, they got a little momentum. You know, so we see that all the time. That's why it's March Madness. That's why it's March Madness. You never know. That's what is exciting about
these games.
And one and out, one and done, you can never tell. You just never know. In these games. Now, most of the time, the small schools never end up winning the whole thing. But there's been plenty of times. Butler, a couple of years ago, came up a little bit short.
They went to the Final Four.
Final Four, and I believe they went to the final game.
Yeah, they did. Yes.
They went to the final game a couple of years ago and lost a low-scoring game, a game that they actually should have won. They were winning. So I don't remember exactly who they were playing, but I remember Butler. You know, then you always see, like, Florida last year. A lot of people fell in love with Florida, you know, Gulf Coast, or Florida International Coast. You know, these small teams, you know, and they never seem to win it. You know, you always see Gonzaga in there, but, you know, Gonzaga never seems to pull it, win the whole thing. But
I call them the University of John Stockton. That's what I call it, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga always plays well in these tournaments. Butler always seems to play well in the tournament. I think Butler actually got upset this year. In the first round, you saw two number three teams go down. Iowa State made everybody pretty much rip up their brackets. A lot of people had Iowa State in the Final Four.
I didn't have them that far, but it ruined my first round at least.
Right. But we're talking about Kentucky, and Who can beat Kentucky? It's the question that everyone wants to know. If there's anyone out there who can beat the Kentucky Wildcats, who is it?
I mean,
a lot of people like to say you need a big player. A lot of people are pointing towards Wisconsin with Kaminsky. You know, he's a big player. To me, the team that can slay the dragon, you always have to worry about, is Duke.
Yep.
That, to me, they have the big
Absolutely.
Player. They have
yep.
two great players. They have Okafor, who's going to probably be the number one pick.
Yep, that's right.
You know, along with these Kentucky guys. I mean, hey, Duke,
if you remember,
a few years ago, not a few years ago, but more than a few years ago, with the UNLV running Rebels, was supposed to be unbeatable.
Yeah, remember that?
And this was the year after they pounded Duke.
Yep.
And then Duke
yep.
ended up beating them.
Yep.
Because why? Because they had that one big player, Christian Laettner.
That's right.
And you need that one.
And
that
Grant
you
Hill,
have a player
team.
Who's playing
yep.
out of his mind, it's a chance.
That's what makes March Madness great. That's
right.
What makes it great. Now, I'm honest. I have, probably like most people do in their bracket, I have in a championship game in one of my brackets. Actually, in both of them. I have two. But both are Kentucky versus Duke. One of them I have Kentucky winning. One of them I have Duke winning. Now, everything else in between, I cannot tell you if I'm going to win.
Right.
But the championship, I have both of them to face each other for the championship. I forgot the other two. I think I have I have one upset team, which I forgot. Like, I threw in there and, like, maybe – I hope it wasn't Iowa State. That would suck. But might be one of the reasons why I'm 17th place in one of my brackets. but I know one of them I probably have – I definitely have, like, Wisconsin, I think, in one of them in
right.
the Final Four, I think. And maybe even Villanova in one of them. But, see, when you do brackets, especially you do more than one, you want to change them up. You don't want to, like, exactly, because then what's the point?
You know what?
I mean, not everyone's different. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah,
you know,
but wait a minute now, Timmy Ace.
You know what I'm trying to say.
You're usually a guy of pretty good integrity. How many brackets do you do?
I just have two. Just two.
And then you switch them up. Like one you got Kentucky winning, one you got Duke winning.
Wait, before you kill me. It's not every round is the same. I have some of them are exactly the same like the first bracket, just a few changes here and there, not drastic changes. It's not like, okay, like say, for example, who was it? Like a certain team faces a certain team, and in two brackets I have either one of them win in every round. No, I don't do it like that. I'm saying just certain matchups, and then I go, maybe I can see this happening, but everything else stays the same, most of it. On the second bracket, you know what I'm trying to say, like that. I'm not.
Absolutely.
I don't,
two brackets aren't crazy. I won't kill you for that. 64-51 was the final score. Kentucky over Cincinnati. They pulled away in the second half. You know what we have going on. We have Maryland is facing West Virginia tonight, 8:40.
The Turtles.
Yep, the Round Terpins. We have the 10th seed Ohio State right now down to Arizona. Arizona is one of those teams that I saw a few people pick. I'm seeing, other than Kentucky,
Arizona.
I see a couple of Villanovas.
True. Me too. I agree.
Right. And I see Wisconsin with Kaminsky.
Yep. I told you that. Yep.
Right. But I'm telling you right now, I think it's going to be Duke, Calipari versus Coach K,
but
Okafor versus Towns.
Well, that won't be
bad. I would not be shocked. You know, because also Duke has another big player. I got to get his name. They have another big player. I think it's Jones. I think his last name is. But he's another big time player. And if Duke gets to the final game, and they're facing Kentucky, and Kentucky has to beat Duke with the pressure on, and you got Coach K with his guys going up against Coach Cal and the freshmen's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, if I had to put my money on a team to win, I think I'd have to say Duke. You know, if they told me I had one chance, and it's Duke versus Kentucky, any other team, I think I'm picking Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
If Duke is at the final game, and all the pressure is on Kentucky to beat Duke, to go undefeated, 44-0, whatever it is, you know what? I think I'd pick Duke because I trust them more.
You trust them more. So you basically have the same as me, except you have Duke winning, just like in one of my brackets. You have Duke beating Kentucky in the championship.
I have Duke
play someone else.
My final four, I have, you know, from the East, I have Villanova.
Well, that's I agree with that.
Right. I have Duke,
obviously.
South region. Okay.
There you go. I agree with that.
I actually had for the first time, I got all the ones for the first time. You know, it never happens.
Only one time it happened, like 5 or 6 years ago, it happened once.
Right.
And forever. It was like about 6, 7 years ago, something like that, I remember.
This is going to be
rare.
The year. This is going to be happening. The only chance I think we have of a one getting upset is over in Villanova's bracket. I think Oklahoma's a dangerous team, the number 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to take another team, it would be Arizona upsetting Wisconsin.
That's possible.
That's the only really thing that I have. If I
had
to change one, I put Arizona to upset Wisconsin. And I have Kentucky in the final game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think it's safe to say most people probably have, I'm not saying everybody, but most people probably have Kentucky Duke in the final game. Most people.
And boy, I tell you. that's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
646-595-4038. We're going to be talking about that. Also.
Yes, sir.
The aftermath of the retirement of the player from San Francisco.
Yes, the linebacker.
The linebacker from San Francisco who had to announce his retirement.
Yeah.
That is Chris Borland.
That's the name. There you go.
Announces retirement after 1 year.
Hmm.
Okay. You know, he did get a signing bonus. He was supposed to get a signing bonus of six. He had a 4-year contract, which included a signing bonus of $617,000, which the team paid him up front.
Mm-hmm.
And he's turning away after one season. A lot of people, you know, you heard a lot of backlash of people saying, you know, this is why football is going to be non-existent in 20, 30 years. You know, what other sport would make a 26-year-old healthy man pull away from it? No other sport would do that. And as usual, football, going along with all the other stuff that happened, you know, you're starting off, you know, that's you with the lawsuits. Then you had all of the Adrian Peterson, Ray Wright stuff. All the stuff with Goodell.
Hardy.
The end of season.
Dan Hardy.
I mean, football had a rough year.
Man.
Now
you
have people talking about Chris Borland retiring and football is too dangerous of a sport and it's going to trickle down. And you're going to see in 30 years that no one wants to play football anymore. Parents are telling their kids they're not going to. Parents are saying they're not going to let their kids play football. I mean, you know, all the people who are coming back now that played, and now that they saying that they did not have the information then that they have now. Now you're seeing a lot of these ex-players, former players, getting on lawsuits. You know, joining in, you know, lawsuits. Okay, so I have a goofy kid screaming in the background.
Oh.
Maybe
I didn't hear it.
So if you do hear it, I have my goofy kid in studio today. So football right now is looking rough. We also want to talk about, where will Adrian Peterson end up? He refused to meet with the Vikings.
I have a hunch. Unfortunately, I have a hunch.
You have a hunch?
I think he's going to end up with
the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, I think so. I hope I'm wrong. Trust me about this. I hope I'm wrong. But him and Jerry Jones are too buddy-buddy. I don't know. I hope so, because they was worried about, oh, they're secretly trying to trade him, and then
right. They're
saying, well, now they're not going to let him loose, they're not going to cut him. Well, obviously they don't want to cut him because they want to get something for him. I mean, this is a franchise player, okay? You're not going to just cut him. That'd be stupid.
Right.
You mean how stupid, and you pay him off, and he's going to go to a contending team, and then he'll kick your team's ass? No, I don't think so. He's going to be traded probably for a few picks. Maybe draft day or something. I won't be surprised if draft night it'll happen in Chicago or something like that. But I hope I'm wrong that he goes to Dallas. I'd rather him go somewhere where a team really needs a running back. You know, a team I don't hate. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But it'd be a good move for
the
Cowboys. In all seriousness, the Cowboys, it'd be a good move for them, of course. That'll help Tony Romo tremendously, of course, especially after losing Murray. So...
Right.
That's a no-brainer in my book.
The free agent frenzy continues.
Oh, yeah.
So we also have talk of Philip Rivers.
Yeah, what's up
possibly,
with this?
Yeah, possibly not,
He's
continuing his stay in San Diego. So now there was some talk going on about San Diego, possibly trading Philip Rivers. And if you're, let's just say you're the New York Jets. Or how about this? You're the Tennessee Titans, because Mariota may not last to six. Tennessee is number two.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Walker just retired. Okay. If the San Diego Chargers call you, and let's say Philip Rivers is about 33 years old. The San Diego Chargers call up you two, and you're Tennessee. And they're offering you Philip Rivers for your second-round draft pick this year. If you're the Titans, are you taking that?
Hell yeah, unless you're stupid. I mean, Philip Rivers is still good. It's not like he's in a decline. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Why not? I know he's 33. I know in football that's like 50 in the NFL, but he's still doing his thing, you know? He's had major injuries in his past, but he's still – has played tremendously like everybody else on their level, especially on the elite quarterback level. I know he hasn't won a championship. I know he's only gone to an AFC championship game once in 2007 year. But I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a damn good quarterback. I think he's worth that pick. It's a second round. It's not like it's – I mean, I understand. Okay, there's certain players that you don't get that are good in the first round. Sometimes it is the third round. Look at for us. You know, for the Giants, when we got homeboy, the wide receiver, he was a third rounder, if I'm not mistaken, or fourth round. You know, so you never know. Like Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice was no first round. I think he was like third or fourth or something like that. So I know there's people that's going to be like, oh, well, I don't know about that. Some people are so uptight about picks. It's so funny. When you have a chance to get a guy like this guy, with Philip Rivers, especially, okay, I understand Tennessee's not winning this year. That's the only problem. Now, that's the only thing. If it was that final piece of the puzzle for you to contend, then I'd probably do it in a heartbeat. Knowing that you probably won't contend maybe in a few years, that's the thing, now that I think about it. But I don't know. If you're trying to get your fans excited, you would think you would at least try it. Because all it takes is a few years of football to get back in the playoff contention.
You have to do something if you're Tennessee. Jake Locker, like I said, retires. And I believe he's 26 years old.
But
I mean, and he's gotten pounded his first 3 years as a quarterback.
Oh my God.
He just got actually killed.
Ish.
So
it's a violent sport.
You know, you at least have to entertain that. Plus, it's close to where Philip Rivers is from.
That's true.
Plus, he's an Alabama boy.
Plus, I heard he's not too thrilled about this talk about the Chargers moving to Los Angeles. I heard rumblings about that.
Right, he's got his
you know?
Family. You know, he doesn't want to uproot his family again and what have you. So we have our guests on the line. We'll be getting to him in
nice.
A second. The hard-hitting
cool. yes.
former All-Pro defensive back, Ken Hamlin.
That's
on Twitter,
cool.
he's Ken underscore Hamlin.
Nice.
Like I said, I always, and it was years ago, but I said that Legion of Boom got created when Ken Hamlin came to the Seattle Seahawks. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it was years prior, but like I said, as a Steeler fan, I know it was unfortunate for him. I'm
uh-huh.
not happy what happened to him that year. But
yes.
as a Steeler fan, I am happy as hell he did not play in that Super Bowl.
And let's be honest about that Super Bowl.
Well, we don't want to talk about that.
You know what?
We win.
You know there was a lot of iffy calls in that Super Bowl. You know it. Don't try
Listen.
To run away from it. Hey, you won a championship. Congratulations. I'm just saying. I'm just keeping it real. Let's keep it real.
A lot of people bring that. So that's why I'm so glad that we ended up winning a couple of years later. Because everyone brings that up to me. You didn't really win. You paid off the refs. Yada, yada, yada.
Remember, Big Ben wasn't really great in that game, if you remember.
He was awful. He had the worst quarterback rating of any winning quarterback that year in
Think
2005 Super Bowl.
That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot with the Ravens winning 2001. Well, that was because of their defense, but, you know, what's his name being the quarterback? It just shows you. You have a great defense. You
right.
win. Especially a defense like the Ravens.
I remember that. All that Super Bowl just made me sick. It was, hey, six rings. 646-595-4038. We're going to be getting to our guest in a minute. Going to be asking him about some football stuff,
yes.
stuff about him, and then we're going to get into some free agent stuff. After that, we'll give an update on Mayweather Pacquiao. I think I'm going to ask Ken Hamlin as well. What's your take? I know you're not into boxing. I am totally in to this Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Well, I am
totally in
myself. Now, I'm not paying no $100 to see it, but I am curious about it. Now, what we talked about last week, towards the end of last week's show, was a great point about Pacquiao that's making me sway a little bit to go with Mayweather. Just a little
right.
bit. I haven't made this
now,
yet.
And of course, when I said that, now this week I got tweets full of all of these so-called proof that Floyd Mayweather has been on PEDs. Now I've got these stories from all these journalists, so-called top journalists that swear they have sources next to the source.
I was about to say
that Floyd Mayweather has failed 3 PED tests, according to that.
Those are the ones that go, sources said to me, meanwhile, the janitor.
Right, it's like the janitor.
And, and that's sweeping the ring, you know.
Right.
Or that's
ring card girl
Mayweather
told them that they
whatever.
Saw Floyd.
Yeah, like, give me a break.
646-595-4038. Like I said, I like to consider this guy the first seed planted. And the Legion of Boom.
Hey.
The hit on Dante Stowers may have been the hardest hit I've ever seen. I almost turned the TV off. That's how bad that was.
Oof.
On Twitter, he's Ken underscore Hamlin. Welcome to the Sports Live and Videotape Show. Mr. Ken Hamlin is on. That's a V show. Mr. Hamlin, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you for having me. And thank you for the good compliments to start it off. That was great.
Absolutely. And like I said, I definitely want to go on record as saying I am not, you know, I am not happy for why you did not play in the Super Bowl, but thank you for not playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that probably was especially since y'all pointed out some of the major you know, mistakes the guys in Stripes made in that game, and then to watch it and see some of the other stuff unfolding in that game, it was definitely a tough one to watch.
Now, Ken, real quickly, going back to that, and it was tough that you had to sit out that year because of an incident and your injuries. Going back to that, was there a lot of talk among Seattle about the calls from the refs, you know, behind closed doors?
After the game, I think that it was so obvious. You can't have conversations about it. It was to the point where it was almost blatant. And and it wasn't like they were trying to just be real discreet. Just seemed like they were like, listen, this is how we want this thing to go. And I pointed out, actually, and it's crazy that I pointed out to a lot of people that during the week of the Super Bowl, I mean, the treatment for, and it's just things here and there, the treatment for Seattle and for me and my teammates were, it was just different than the treatment that, you know, I remember us going to the basketball game. Both teams were at the basketball game, and it was like, you know, they set us down. We were in, like, the second or third row. We were in nice seats watching, you know, the Pistons play. I mean, Detroit Pistons play. I forgot who they were playing. But then it's like they basically stopped the game and walked Pittsburgh on the court to their front row seats.
I remember that.
Wait a minute. Is this already? Then, you know, game day, you know, you hear on the radio and you hear, you know, just on TV, and they have the reporters at different locations, and, like, this is where Pittsburgh fans will be, you know, if they win. And, you know, you wait for them to cut to their next reporter to say this is where Seattle fans will be if they win, and they never cut to another person. So you're like, okay. So I guess, you know, I guess the odds were stacked up against us from the jump, and it just, I mean, it basically showed in the game because – yeah, some of the calls they made were big swings in that game to where it was a close game as it is, but, I mean, it would have been heavily our way.
Absolutely. I tell you, that game gave me an upset stomach. We're talking to Ken Hamlin. When you look at how the game is played today, Ken, and how you came up playing it, do you think they make it impossible for defensive backs to be intimidating? You know, like you know, you was a very intimidating defensive back. And now, you know, it seems like the rules kind of tilt, you know, kind of make almost impossible for a defensive back to play the position like he's used to playing in.
Well, you know, you can still – I think that Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor do a good job of trying to keep the game, the aggression of that position, you know, and just playing that back end. But it's nothing like how it was. I mean, I think that, you know, receivers now – used to have certain receivers that they didn't run certain routes because they didn't want to go in the middle. You know, that wasn't that was in their route tree. And now it seems that every receiver is, you know, they're so confident that every receiver can run a dig, you know, and run across the middle and not worry about, okay, well, I got to take this big hit because you got defenders that have to, we got to slow down to make sure that we don't hit this guy a certain way, a certain area, or hit him too hard. Because nowadays, even if you do hit him hard, it still might be a penalty because it's just off of judgment of the referee. So, and the fines that they're throwing out, I mean, you know, even though, you know, we get paid pretty well for playing a game that we love to play, you know, you're talking about taking $15,000, $30,000 away from a guy. I mean, to me, I don't care if it's $5, it's still my money that you're taking. So, that aggression has been limited, and, you know, and it's been put in a little bit of a bottle because you can't just go out and play, you know, 100 miles an hour like you know you were taught to play back in the day.
Absolutely. I was talking to former All-Pro defensive back Ken Hamlin. Now, what is your I want to get into this because there's been a lot of talk about, you know, football has taken a big hit this year. With some of the things that's gone on, you know, a lot of the things, in my opinion, but of course I'm a sport fanatic, a lot of the things in my opinion is blown a tad bit out of proportion, you know, what is, as far as the things that went on with Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice, do you feel as though, as it played out, in your opinion, do you feel as though the Ravens and the Vikings sort of turned their back on Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson?
Well, I think that I know that it seems the Ravens, you know, some people knew, some didn't, and all this stuff,
right.
And how everyone's saying he say, she say, and they're pointing their fingers at each other. But I just don't know, as an organization, how you don't gain and get the information that you would need to make a decision on a guy that's basically one of your franchise guys.
Absolutely.
And it seems that, you know, it's too much, you know, too much point going on to sit there and say or whatever that they didn't know more than what they really did. And then for them to make a decision like they did, and then, you know, the 2-game suspension comes out with Ray, and then all of a sudden when the video comes out, oh, now we got to treat it differently because the public, you know, has found out what's going on.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just so it shows that if that video didn't get out publicly, that you would have handled it a certain way. But now that the public got an eye on it, now it's, oh, I got to cover my back. All right, Ray, you know, whatever in the meeting or whatever we told you, but now you're out of here. And now you can't be a face of our team because of what they've seen, and not what you did, but what they've seen now.
Right.
With Adrian, it seems like the team is sort of trying to pick up the pieces from what I think it was the governor or the mayor of area of Minnesota was trying to really basically say that he didn't want him. I believe it was one of those guys who was saying that basically he didn't want him on the team. And it was sort of like the coaches and players now, they're trying to basically convince Adrian that they do want him around because he's a big piece of that puzzle.
Right. And do you think, really quickly, and I'm going to get to Jimmy A, so I know he's got some questions for you. Do you think as though how big of a factor is now, you know, the social media play in this whole thing? Because it seems like the whole, you know, the peanut gallery, the kangaroo court, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
You know, seems to have come down, and then you got people coming, and this is what drives me nuts. You got people who's never, who couldn't tell you a touchdown from a home run, coming on to him, piling on, you know, Agent Peters and Ray Rice. They never even watched the football game in their life, and then they're putting pressure on guys. How big of a factor do you think social media played in the whole thing?
Oh, it played the most. It was the biggest thing that had to do with this whole situation. Like I said, I mean, if it didn't get out into the public and they started really giving their views on what they think should happen and why this should happen, and you know, if you don't do this or whatever, then this organization is going to do this. And it just, all that stuff put pressure on the league and the team to act in a way that, as you saw, they weren't going to act that way. And it shows the type of influence that, you know, the public and that social media has, because they're putting pressure on, you know, the sponsors. They're putting pressures on these guys, and the sponsors, that's money. I mean, so when the team starts looking at, okay, we're losing this sponsor, that sponsor, then, okay, one individual and determine, you know, how we're going to play this thing out. So they decided to go a different route than what they were already originally going to do. And social media, I mean, it's nowadays, you know, you can't go anywhere without people pulling out their phone and wanting to video and take pictures and do this type of stuff.
Everybody's
so,
a photographer. Everybody's a newscaster now.
And post it everywhere. I mean, I know when you first got on a phone for your family and friends, but now I want everybody to know what I'm doing, what I'm seeing, you know, what happened. So it's a huge part of it.
Right, absolutely. And we're talking to former Pro Bowl Ken Hamlin. Jimmy Ace, what you got?
Yes, Mr. Hamlin, a pleasure to talk to you. I want to ask a few questions. You've done a lot of great things where a lot of men haven't done and wish they could do is play professional football, and I have much respect for you. However, I am a Giants fan. I have a question for you. 2007. Very good year for your Cowboys, if I remember correctly. You won the NFC East. I think you all went 13-3, if I'm not mistaken, or 14-2.
I believe we did.
Yes, and then there was a division round.
I couldn't have
There was a division round, and then you faced the
We can
the
see
Giants,
where this is
you
going.
Yeah, and, you know, you basically cakewalked them during the season twice in Dallas.
Yeah.
And in old Giant Stadium. I still miss that stadium to this day.
And then there was this game, a great game, by the way, as a fan. And towards the end of the game, you know, Tony Romo's marching down the field. The Cowboy fans are getting excited. Then, oh, no, Kevin McCourty's with the interception end zone. Tell me, what was worse, that moment or Super Bowl against the Steelers in that loss? Which was worse?
Oh, of course the Super Bowl. I mean, that season was worse. That would be a Giants fan for you, but you know, I think that season though, we did so many good things during the season that as a team, we had a lot of younger guys and a lot of guys that had no playoff experience, and so going into that game and going into that week, our preparation wasn't, in my eyes, it wasn't the best that it should have been, because we had a lot of guys that didn't take it the extra step. I mean, I try to tell, you know, people all the time, and I know that a lot of players that, you know, that actually play the game have been in the playoffs, have been in different situations, know that regardless if you play this team 5 times in the regular season, it's a different type of team when you get into the playoffs.
Absolutely.
It's a different type of vibe. It's a different type of energy. I mean, And you have to make sure that you prepare for that. And I think that during that week, we didn't prepare as well as we should have. We didn't execute as well as we should have in the game. And as you see, regardless of how many times you beat a guy, it only takes that one time. And that one time happened, you know, when we're trying to, you know, we're trying to move forward into the playoffs. And, of course, you know, it just seems to keep – it kept stinging us that way. So it was a good win by New York. I give them that. It was a good win. To lose in the Super Bowl, though, but I
mean, it was a great run. It was, in all seriousness, you had a great team. I mean, maybe you would have been the team to break that Patriots streak, but oh well, we will never know about that. But in all seriousness, I mean, even after that year, though, when you were still with the team the next couple of years, they were still a good team. Going back to that, do you feel it was just a combination of just inexperience and maybe not being mature enough to really go to that next level?
I think that it might have been – well, you got to gel. I mean, regardless of whoever the GMs and owners and, you know, coaches put on that team, you got to find a way to gel together. You got to find a way to make it happen with whoever you have on that team. And I think that we found times where we looked great, and then, you know, it was times where we just couldn't always put it together. And it was more of that, you know, and I think that we just could never get on a roll at the right time. I mean, we would have times, you know, when we're in October and, you know, September, October, we're winning games. We're looking, you know, we're looking like we're just a well-oiled machine. And then once we got to that time where it really counts, you know, November, December, January, it just seemed like we were losing a little bit of that consistency and that polish that we had. And you can blame it on so many different things, but I mean, it's just each week you got to go out there and perform. You got to be ready to play and win games, and we didn't do it.
And we're talking to Ken Hamlin on Twitter. Remember, he's Ken_Hamlin. Now, in your opinion, what defensive back in today's game reminds Ken Hamlin of Ken Hamlin?
Oh, I mean, I would have to say Cam Chancellor, and just
I would say that.
You know, he's a. I mean, when I say, you know, I'm maybe 208, 210 at my heaviest. This dude looked like he's about 245 in a 225
right.
frame body. I mean, it's crazy to see him move around like he does and be so fluent in that position and be that big of a guy. But he still, I mean, and can lay the wood, and he does it in a way like I said earlier. Him and Earl do it in a way where it's still an aggressive game for them. They still go out and play the game a certain way. That whole secondary does, but they do it within the confines. Even though they're basically getting you know, putting one hand behind their back, the way that the league is making it an offensive type
right.
game. They're still going out to play the game in an aggressive way and making sure that squad, that defense is recognized and that they understand what type of game it's going to be when you come to that game.
And since we're on the topic of the Seahawks, we might as well go there.
Mm-hmm.
I know you played on other teams, but I know deep inside you're a Seahawk at heart. And
good choice.
If you were on the field on that play in the Super Bowl, which
oh,
I hate to
man.
Go back to, which I almost destroyed my house, and I'm not even a Seahawk fan.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
Do you believe that that ball should have went to Marshawn Lynch, or do you believe that was the right call?
100% it should have went to Marshawn Lynch.
Of course.
Yeah, 150% if we can keep going up. I mean,
to infinity.
And I was there at that game, and I was doing some work with Sky Sports London, and I was up in the booth with what it seemed like being nothing but New England fans, and
oh wow,
yuck.
After that one run on first down where he got it basically to the 1 yard line, all the New England fans were basically like, it's over. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They started packing up their stuff because they're like, this game is done. Especially when New England didn't call a timeout.
Yeah.
Conserve some time for themselves to get the ball back because Tom Brady was 8 for 8 on the drive before. So I would think they would have conserved some time to get him the ball where he could do his magic.
Absolutely.
And pretty much was over. So you have basically 30 or 40 seconds, and it's second down on that, and your go-to on your offense is the running game, and you basically try to do a trick play, or you try to fool them and do another play.
That's what it was, a trick play.
Exactly.
Friends who's in the organization, I see him after the game, and he was like, you know, it's four people that need to get fired right now.
My thing is if you have a rookie quarterback at that time, and I don't consider Russell Wilson to be a rookie quarterback, I feel like he's a guy that can make some calls and do some different things. And me being in that position, I always said that you get that call in your head in your helmet. You walk into that huddle, and you look at the guy and say, "Hey guys, this one's on me." But we're running the ball.
Like, thank you.
I
agree.
We're not doing that because you end up motioning. You're on the goal line, and the one thing for a defense is when you're in the red zone, you don't get beat inside. When New England had the ball, they could have, if they wanted to throw the ball, they could have ran the same play that New England ran against them on the other side when they ran the little pivot route with Edelman. Because you have to take away the inside, just like that corner did, and he pivoted and was beat. You could have ran the same route, and you saw how fast that corner was going down. I forgot his name. They made the interception. How fast
Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler,
How fast he was going to get inside. If he would have stabbed his foot and went outside, I mean, he would have walked into the end zone. He could have took a nap and woke up and walked in the end zone.
Wow. I tell you, did Hamlin agree? Exactly what I said. And the thing that killed
my
me, and like, you know, I don't want to kill Pete Carroll. You know, Pete Carroll probably knows more football, forgotten more football than I'll ever know. But, we changed the play because they had their goal line defense in. Well, Pete, they thought you were running the ball.
Actually, New England came back and said, and they actually said that, well, we had a package of a goal line in, but we matched receiver on receiver. So it wasn't just a straight goal line where you got your safeties in, no corners, you know, and you were looking for only run. They saw they had a couple of receivers. They put a couple of corners out there. So they matched up.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't just goal line, okay, there's goal line, let's pass the ball. Nope. It was basically, and I said this, for my little thing, whatever, I said that they didn't want, and of course, you know, they had the linebacker that was the MVP last year, and they wanted Russell Wilson to be that guy.
Wow.
And so you
did go on record and say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of people agreed.
Yeah.
A lot of people agreed.
Oh, my God.
That doesn't make sense.
That's so stupid.
We're talking to Ken Hamlin great defensive back, former NFL player. Let's see. Something else. With the, okay. Now, what was your whole take on the recent retirement of the linebacker from San Francisco, Chris Borland? A lot of people took a lot of, you know, he took a lot of backlash, I've seen, and then there were some people taking his side saying, well, see, this is why football is too dangerous, and in 30 years, football will no, be no more, and what have you. What is your take on that, you know, especially playing a, this sport is the sport that you love to play, that you made a living playing. So it's got to be a very personal, you know, subject to you.
Well, first I want to say that no one, unless maybe in Pee Wee ball when your parents made you sign up, no one has ever forced anybody to play the game. So it's an honor to be able to play the game, and you go out there because you choose to play the game. And for a guy to play for so long, when you think about, you know, whatever he did in Little League and all that type of stuff, you know, junior high school, college, and then all of a sudden when you get into your first year, basically playing 6 months, 5 months, and then all of a sudden say that you've done some research to where you don't want to play anymore. It's a decision that you can make. I'm not gonna say whatever that, you know, if he wants to make that decision, one thing I know is that there's 1,000 other guys that would love to be in his footsteps.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love to be out there playing the game. And you know, they either blew the opportunity or they just were bypassed by somebody else or, you know, whatever the case may be. But it just seems crazy. It seems a little strange, whatever, that all of a sudden this decision comes out right now, whatever. Also, I would say that maybe he has an opportunity that other guys that play the game don't or didn't have, where he can just say, you know, forget football because I got this going on already. Or, some people, you know, they're the breadwinner for their entire family, so they can't make that decision. Some people, it's just so many other things that could be going on to where, but it goes back to, you know, the love for the game has to be there. You have to really respect the game enough to sit there and make a decision like that. Well, you know what? I don't love it, so I'm getting out of here. Or I love it, I'm gonna keep playing. And he decided that one was enough, I guess, and he was ready to move on and do something different.
And we're talking to Ken Hamlin on Twitter, Ken_Hamlin. Let's get into a couple of real quickly, and we appreciate all the time you're spending here with us. Real quickly,
no,
some of the free agency stuff. Have you seen so much movement in the NFL? You know, free agency, trading. I've never seen so much trading and free agency
crazy movement.
Have you ever seen, do you remember this much movement ever, all your years playing in the league?
No. I mean, within the first couple of days, it was probably the max that I've ever seen. And then, but just all the different, like, trades and just this guy, these guys getting released. And, I mean, it's not small guys. It's like big name guys that are moving to teams. It's just so much going on that you start wondering, like, what is, like, why? Why now? Why is this such a change? And why it's and it just seems like, well, with Philly, I think they basically changed their whole roster. They seem to want to start over. Chip Kelly just says he wants to start over.
What is Chip Kelly doing, Ken?
He's bringing everybody from Oregon over to Philadelphia.
Thank you. Thank you. it's a family reunion.
If it was possible for him to get Mariota in Philly, he definitely would. But I just don't think. I mean, they basically had to pull a Ricky Williams type of deal and get rid of everything and go get the guy, or Herschel Walker type deal, where you give up everything and go get him. And they can't afford to do that. I don't believe. Now, Chip Kelly is pulling the strings, so he might do it and just say, "Hey, forget it. I'm running the show." So, he wants guys that are going basically. He wants college guys. It seems.
Right.
He wants guys that are not going to.
He wanted a college offense, pretty much.
Yeah, he wants guys that are not going to go against what he's trying to do. He wants guys that basically. Hey, look, I don't need a guy with a voice right now. I need a guy that's going to run this offense and do it how it needs to be done, and that's it. And if you look at it, I mean, he got rid of DeSean Jackson the year before. You know, LeSean McCoy is gone now. You got Trent Cole gone. You got, I mean, Macklin is in Kansas City back with Andy Reid. So, I mean, it just seems like, and then Kerry Williams is in Seattle now. I mean, he was a guy that came from the Baltimore defense that played well and played well, pretty well for Philly too. So it just seems like, and he had a lot of things going on with you know, a lot of vocal, you know, just being verbal what was going on in that organization. But what was the wide receiver that had the controversy? The one guy, I forgot his name. He played like the slot, but he had all the controversy about the racial slurs and stuff and that type of thing.
Oh, Riley Cooper.
Riley is comfortable in his position of probably starting this year, but because, I mean, he wants guys just going to buy in to what he wants to do, period.
What did you think of the moves that the Jets made with Revis going back to New York and them also acquiring Brandon Marshall? So what about the moves that the Jets made?
Well, my former defensive back coach, who I actually went to the Pro Bowl in Dallas, where he's the head coach now, Ty Bowles, and I mean he's a genius. You know, when it comes to playing the position, he played in the league. He knows, and that's one thing I like about guys like him becoming head coaches and coordinators, because they know what you go through. They know what you're going through in a season, you know, during training camp. So they know. It's not like it's just a guy that's just saying, hey, I want you to push harder. And he really doesn't know the physical strain that your body's going through. And Bowles is, I mean, when I say he knows his stuff, for him to get Revis, I mean, that's going to be magical to see the type of defense he's going to be able to run with that guy. Being on one island and doing his thing, and then to get Brandon Marshall, who's had great numbers. I mean, everywhere he's gone, and for whatever reason, Chicago felt like it was time to part ways. But that's a plus. I mean, that's a major plus. Now it just depends on who's going to throw the ball to him, because I don't think Geno Smith is ready and is going to be ready. He seems he needs to sit back and watch a little bit and gain a little bit more confidence in himself and his game to really move forward and be an elite quarterback in the league. So they have some pieces they still have to put together, but I think that, you know, the moves they've made so far have been pretty good.
Now, and if you had a your say on what team do you think is going to, that were not in the playoffs last year, that will be this year, and which team do you think had a chance of taking a big step back?
A big step back. Well, first I'll say a team that could make a move, depending on how they draft, you know, especially offensively, to give them a bigger push. Miami, you know, getting Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah,
That is a huge move. They already had a pretty talented defense as it is. Tannehill I really don't have that much confidence in Tannehill as a quarterback. But if they can get a running game going on and let him just not lose it, I think they'll be in a lot of games and let their defense lead the way. And that's something that they'll probably, and I think they're going to make a big jump. You know, and I think it's going to be a big push once you get him putting pressure on that quarterback with the other guys on that defensive front that are already making moves.
Right.
A team that might make a step back. Can Oakland go further back, or is that just they are?
Oh man!
Much for the black hole.
You know what? I think take a step back, and it all depends on their quarterback. I think Denver. You know, Peyton, you know, his arm strength isn't strong already, but and of course teams find a way to play their receivers a certain way and take their timing away, and he can't make those throws like a Tom Brady can make, and he can't. Of course, we already know it's not about getting out of the pocket, because he's definitely not doing that. So I think that if his arm strength starts to dwindle, they're going to be in trouble offensively, not having a big time running game. they're going to put themselves in a big hole if they can't get that quarterback position, you know, get him going. And of course, they're going to say he's healthy because you want the mind of Peyton Manning out there, but you got to have that arm to go with it.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. So we know now that you're out of football. You have some other things that's going on. So let everybody know what's next for Ken Hamlin.
Well, I've been getting to the broadcasting and a little bit starting to dive into a little broadcasting and possibly some acting type stuff. So I'm starting to do some things here and there. I've been working with some stuff with Sky Sports London. I was in Houston working with Comcast and plan on doing some more stuff in the Houston area as well as out in LA doing some more stuff. So there's some new things coming up, and you can definitely follow me on Twitter, Ken_Hamlin, and on Instagram, Ken_Hamlin. I'm actually about to get a YouTube channel started. It'll be Hammer Talk. It'll be Hammer Talk, and I'll be putting that on Facebook and all of my other social media, so you can look out for that as well. And just some more conversations about football, sports in general, and just living the good life. You know, it's a lot of things. A lot of things coming up.
And we'll definitely be looking forward to that. And when you get that Hammer Talk going, we'll definitely make sure we get you back here on the SLV show. So now my favorite part of the interview is what we call Hot Seat. We're going to leave everybody with a little Ken Hamlin hot seat. And I'm going to throw questions at you. And, Ken, you're going to fire back the answers to me in a flash as fast as you can. You're ready to play hot seat on SLV show.
Let's go.
All right. Ken Hamlin, your favorite actor?
Favorite actor, Denzel.
Beyonce or Rihanna?
Beyonce, no question.
What basketball team do you root for?
Oh, basketball is tough. I try to root for Houston, but I root for the underdog.
Favorite drink when you're out?
Favorite drink? I mean, I don't drink anymore, so I'm water or Red Bull.
Okay. Favorite artist?
Favorite artist? Wayne, Jay-Z, those are my top two.
Chris Rock or Chris Tucker?
Oof. Chris Rock.
There you go.
Now, if you were single and you had one date with any woman in the world, it would be who?
Well, it'd be a combination because I got to get a little Janet. Janet's my girl.
Yes.
Janet. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to stick with that. You got it, Janet, yeah. Miss Jackson.
There you go. That's beautifully done.
Janet, if you're nasty, that's right.
Ken Hamlin, man, we want to thank you for spending time with us on SLV show. Great interview. We'll be looking forward to the Hamlin time and everything. Make sure we get you back on SLV show, brother.
I appreciate you having me on. It was a great time.
Cool.
And there he is.
There you go.
Ken Hamlin. What a good guy, man.
Yes, I was going to say, great guy. You know what that tells me? That tells me even if he was a Dallas Cowboy, sometimes you have to go through hell to get to heaven.
he's a
so good for him.
Like I said, I'm always going to think of him as a Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
And definitely has a bright future. The ladies love him.
Oh, good for him. Hey,
good looking guy. Got out of football with all his limbs.
Good for him. All his marbles.
You know?
Yep. Hey,
right.
Good for him, man. Oh yeah. Cool dude. Could have been a good giant if he would have came to our team. But
I'm sure he will have no issue whatsoever moving on in football.
No.
So it is the SLV show.
Great show.
It is 646-595-4038. Great show.
Yeah, man. I'm honored.
We're going to take a phone call. We got the 813 area code. I didn't see him on. I had left the room. I hope he wasn't trying to ask a question. I wish he could have got on. 813 area code, you're on the SLV show.
What's up, fellas? What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
What's up, dude?
Just chilling. What's up with y'all? This is actually the first for me. I haven't been on the show before, so this is actually the first.
Oh, cool. Welcome.
Okay. Thanks for calling. I'm on time. What's on your mind?
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Right now, this is actually the first time I've actually heard the show before, so I'm basically stepping in new. I heard, like, as far as about who I choose as far as females, for me, if I had a combination, it'd be Beyonce between Beyonce and J-Lo.
Hey, bro. Well, you're going to get an honor for me.
No argument for me either.
Hey,
you can't,
no argument
you
for me.
You can't get any Beyonce and J-Lo. Wow. I mean, can you come up with two better? Can you come up with two better combinations than that? Probably not.
Well, you know,
Janet Jackson and Beyonce, maybe.
You know, Amber Rose.
Nah, we're not.
Janet and Beyonce. Beyonce and Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
No, Rihanna. No. I'd probably be like Rihanna and Cassie. More like Rihanna and Cassie, so like, not Rihanna and Beyonce. No, I just couldn't.
Since we talked about guy talk, I would say I think Rihanna's more freakier. I would probably take Rihanna over Beyonce.
Well, I kind of doubt that, buddy. I kind of doubt that. No,
I wouldn't mind finding out.
Yeah, neither would I. Neither would I. Maybe both at once.
Hey, you can't go home.
Now, coming up on one of the discussions we had coming up was the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Yes.
What's your take on that coming up on May 2nd?
Oh, you know what's crazy is everybody's been waiting for this fight to happen.
Oh,
everybody's
right.
been waiting for this fight to happen. I don't even know, to be honest with you. I just want to see it. I really couldn't tell you who I'm rooting for to win because they're both good. They both got their strengths, weaknesses. They're both good fighters and stuff like that. But I'd go with Pacquiao because Floyd always gets it. But I want to see it. I want to see it because it's going to be a good fight. Everybody's been waiting for this fight for the longest.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
man.
I just want to fight it.
813 Erico, man, we thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
Please come back.
Yeah, what's your name, dude?
Please come back. Now, what's on 813 Erico, what is your name? So we can make sure we remember you. We're on every Saturday at 6 p.m.
Jordan.
Jordan, man, you, man, for coming on. To make sure you come back anytime to the SLV show. We're on every Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. 631 area code, 704, I believe this is the director. You're on
the
SLV show.
Hey, guys. Hey, how are you?
What's up, bro?
What's up, guys? Great show, man. Really was loving the show. I wish I could have got in time. I only heard the second half of Hamlin, but he seems like a cool dude. I just wanted to make my big, bold prediction for the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Drum roll, please.
I am going to say.
Now, before you do that, director, and this is the director who's actually coming back from on remote.
Yes.
On location, so he filmed and broadcast at the Last Dragon's 30th anniversary.
Yes.
In New Jersey, matter of fact, he went on remote in New Jersey. Now he's back in time enough for before this show goes off. How was it out there? Before we get into your prediction, how was it out there at the Last Dragon 30th anniversary?
Oh boy,
it was a zoo. It was really crowded and. A lot of good turnout came out to see Ty Mock, a.k.a. Bruce
Absolutely.
Leroy, do his thing. I mean, we were having all types of trouble with Blog Talk, but,
it was all
good. We ended up, we ended up ending the show a little bit early, but we got the interview with Ty Mock, so we'll air it Monday.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll air what we have Monday. But it was good. It turned out to be good. I mean, I ended up there by myself because one of my Jedi councilmen, Ralph, he had an emergency. He had to leave. So, you know, I hope everything is okay with him. It was something,
Absolutely.
You know, he had a personal thing, family situation.
I hope everything all right, man.
So my prediction is, I don't know why I've been feeling about this. I've been wrestling with this for a minute, but. You know, Floyd is – a lot of people think it's a bad thing that Floyd has changed his way of training.
Training.
But
I kind of wrestled with that at first myself.
Yeah.
My first answer was why.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think – I don't know, man. Until proven otherwise, I think Floyd is one of the most smartest boxers to ever get in the ring. And I believe that I'm gonna go with the faith that he changed up for a reason. I'm gonna say that around the eighth round, Manny Pacquiao will hit the floor. That's my prediction. I'm gonna say around the eighth round, Manny Pacquiao And I'm going to say that Manny Pacquiao, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be something that is going to be unexpected because no one really expected Floyd to knock him down or out. But I think he's going to hit the floor. Is he going to knock him out? I don't know. But I think around the eighth round, because Floyd trains for like 20 rounds. You know,
right.
his conditioning is sick. Mm. I think around the eighth round, and on the other hand with Pacquiao, I'm going to say if Pacquiao does not have establishment in the, by the eighth round, he will definitely lose the fight either way.
Mm.
I think for some reason the eighth round has been sticking in my mind. I think that's where Floyd gets his mojo going. You know, he's a slow starter. By the time the eighth round come around, Floyd is going to be ahead enough on points. I think Pacquiao's going to have to take some chances, and Floyd is going to counterpunch and put him on the floor. That's my prediction.
I hope that happens. I don't know what, you know, this fight is just getting more and more weird to me every day because every day I hear something different. And, you know, I don't like the way Floyd fought his last two fights. And he cannot fight Pacquiao the way he fought Madonna.
Because he won't.
Pacquiao throws punches and bunches. He's the type of guy, he's not like Madonna who's going to try to put together big blows. Pacquiao is a guy who throws a lot of punches. So to me, Floyd cannot sit back and try to counterpunch Pacquiao because I think Pacquiao's punches are going to be coming too much. Mm-hmm. But the thing that bothers me about this whole thing is now all these things that are starting to come out around Floyd. I believe it, and you can give me your opinion. It could, of course, just try. It could be what they call mind games on the Pacquiao side. All these stories now are coming out about Floyd Mayweather failing drug test and it being covered up by Golden Boy in boxing, which, like I said, I never, ever will be surprised in boxing if anything happens. Because I think boxing has been corrupt for 30 years. So nothing would surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if Floyd was on steroids. It wouldn't surprise me if Pacquiao was on steroids.
Yep.
But until there is proof, I'm not going to damper this fight with speculation and allegations. If you got some proof that Floyd Mayweather failed drug tests, bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Look, bring it out.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that I believe and I have a source that says they believe Floyd Mayweather. I want to bring it out. It will surely come out. And the other thing that's bothering me is the story that Floyd's father, the statement that he made about he doesn't believe that Floyd doesn't realize that he can beat Manny Pacquiao. And Floyd kind of got upset at his father for that statement. His father came out and said he's not so convinced that Floyd doesn't realize that he can beat Manny Pacquiao. So
he must have not given him enough money to end the month or something.
Right, that's not something you want your trainer, your dad saying. We know they've had their problems in the past. I mean, so that's the only thing I believe. I kind of agree with you. I do like Floyd changing up a little bit because I don't think that he can fight this fight like he normally fights because he's never fought a guy that throws as many punches as Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Really quickly, your feeling, since you are a Viking fan, do you want AP back? Would you want AP back on the team?
I've been thinking about this, and, you know, as of right now, he doesn't want to be here, so I just say we try to get as much as we can for him and let him move on. I was upset with the franchise for doing what they did anyway. I know people were saying he wanted to, you know, calling for his head, they wanted to be punished. But he took that to heart, man, and that has hurt him, and he doesn't want to play for this franchise anymore. And I don't want to force him and have a unhappy, you know, Adrian Peterson. Let's just go ahead and get what we can for him, get as much as we can for him, without, you know, make it look like it's terrible, and then just move forward that way. We have a new system, you know. North Turner is a quarterback guy. So we have
yep.
That's why they brought in the other receiver. They brought in what's his name?
Mike Wallace.
Wallace. Yeah, they brought in Wallace, and you know, with him, if we can get like another running back, even in the draft, or even if we get a running back that we could sign that could just kind of, because we got Asiata for the goal line stuff. So
right.
If we can get like another running back that can work into that scheme,
right.
You know, yeah, I know, right? Ray Wright, yeah, but they won't do it because they're afraid of the baggage.
Yeah,
it's
more
the same reason. The baggage,
yeah.
The same reason why
yeah.
they're messing with
yeah.
AP. So,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I, if we could get somebody that anybody that we could sign that can catch out the backfield and work into this, but we, you know, because we got to have a running presence. We can't just go to nothing. So
nope.
Right.
But no, to answer your question, no. I love AP. You know, he's the MVP. He's not going to work right for us. So might
right.
as well get rid of him. Yeah, you know, get what you
that
can.
Sucks to hear, man.
So anyway,
well,
guys, you guys had a great show. And,
thanks, Wes.
You
did
know,
too, man.
I was definitely. Oh, thanks, man.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to
yeah,
put this out there because it's not easy to do what we do to broadcast on a regular when we're on in our own domain, let alone going on location and let alone be by yourself. So I want to commend you for even doing an hour for what you had to go through, you know, with Blog Talk
yeah.
and people asking you questions. Oh,
yeah, people come up to me when I was on air, trying to talk to me. I'm like, I'm on the air, man.
God, just have to be like, I mean, you know, what about this camera? I'm like, you asking me something about my camera. What's going on?
And it was the guy. The funny thing is, it was the guy that was with Timox. So I'm like,
what?
I'm like, it was the guy who was like one
serious?
Of Timox people, and I'm like waving him off. Like, damn, I hope he don't take it personal because I dissed him. But I mean, I'm on air. I pointed to the big on air on the screen.
the
asking,
lack of a broadcaster.
It worked. Yeah, it worked out, man. You know what it is? We thugged it out there, man.
Yes, you did.
We worked out, and we'll come up with something nice to play on Monday. And like
can't
I said,
wait,
man, I love you guys. You
same
know,
here,
sports
man.
Show. Yeah, you know what I mean? You guys at the sports show do your thing, man. So congratulations on that. Keep up the good work, man. I'll talk to you guys
director.
Later.
All right,
thanks
bro.
A lot, man, for checking in.
That's the man right there.
Good stuff
director.
There. Director out
yes.
there on location.
Yes, doing his thing as always.
Yeah, with Real Talk. And
yep. Great
show.
So
you tune in
to
the show on Monday. Great show.
Yep, Monday's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to end the show, 352 area code. You are on the SLV show.
Hello there.
Hey, let me find my applause button.
Yeah.
Hold on. Before you continue, Joseph, hold on.
Before
Joseph
the end of the year
on the line.
Okay. Come on. There you go. That's the applause button? No, there's not like an applause. What was that?
Joseph Tanner's on the line.
There you go.
There you
that's
go, Joseph. Thank you.
That's right. He deserves that. Come on. All right. Let's go ahead. Stop, Joseph.
Yeah, I'm just calling, listening to your show with a question I have.
Sure.
Soccer related.
Oh, okay.
You got this.
Oh,
you got this, Heaven. Go ahead, Heaven. It's all yours. All you.
Sports related. The
yeah,
reason is they're planning to have soccer here in America, mainly here in Florida.
Right.
And I'm a little. I'm not sure whether it's a good idea or not. Because I've seen the soccer stuff over in South America, how it ends up always erupting into a riot with violence.
Right.
And I'm wanting to get your all's opinion. Do you think having soccer here is a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think soccer... Excuse me. I think soccer in the United States would not be as intense. The fans at least at first, will not be as intense. You know, as you have to remember, in the other state, the other countries, soccer is like their football.
And they call it football.
Right, and they call it football. So you see how we're passionate. You see how violence breaks out mostly in out of all sports. Most of the violence takes place at NFL games. You know, when you do see fights.
Sorry to interrupt you there. Violence doesn't just occur in football. It also occurs in baseball and in ice hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true. But most of, you know, I have seen, I don't see the coverage as much, probably because baseball, you know, they really have been pretty much trained not to really speak whenever there's something going on in the stands or what have you. A lot of times they're told not to broadcast that, not to mention it. So a lot of times the fights and the arguments go pretty much unpublicized because that's what a baseball announcer has been told to do. Soccer, I believe they're so passionate, and I've never saw any riots erupt like that at football games. I've seen a couple, you know, in the stands and after the games or what have you, but I just believe that it would be a lot more structure, you know, in Florida. Okay, now it was what, 12 years after nearly bringing the MLS on new teams. So they're going to be teams in Orlando and Miami, from what they're saying. They're going to be teams in, was it Orlando and Miami, I believe. And that's going to be 2000 this year, so-called.
Yeah, and you got a soccer team playing Yankee Stadium that has no name.
Yeah.
It's just a football club in New York and whatever.
So to answer your question, I don't believe that soccer in the United States will be as violent or
different
as
cultures.
Crazy, you
different
know, right, in other countries. Because like you said, as Jimmy A said, different cultures, people don't feel the same way about soccer in the United States just yet. Not saying they will or not saying they will never, but they don't feel the same way about soccer in the United States as they do in other countries. And we want to thank Joseph Tanner for that call.
Yes.
Great question. Great show.
Yeah.
We want to thank Ken Hamlin.
Yes.
I want to thank all the callers, everyone tweeting in. I was listening. Everybody
Jordan.
Doing all the retweets.
What?
Joseph? Yep. The director, Joseph, calling in. Yes.
Radio.
Join us again next week. I also want to thank
me,
the publicist of Ken Hamlin. Kenneth Hamlin's publicist.
Absolutely.
She sent us a few other people before. That's LaCheryl Smith, L Group PR. We want to thank her for getting us Ken Hamlin such short notice, and you know, she worked with us, got us a couple of people on past shows. So we want to shout her out and thank her as well. And we'll be working with her, of course, in the future. So 6 p.m. next week, next Saturday, we'll be discussing. By then, we'll be down to the Elite Eight by the time we come out. Maybe even the Final Four by next Saturday. I'll probably be down to the Final Four. So we'll be
closer to baseball.
I was basketball, and we're getting closer to baseball.
Yes.
And, of course, the NBA, yes.
Yes, yes. Real quickly, I want to thank everybody for downloading the special 100th episode of my Bench Warmer Show podcast. I celebrated 100th episode this past Wednesday.
Hey!
Beautiful. Too bad you couldn't come. I wish you would have been there, bro.
100 shows. I'm sorry I missed that. I wish I had been able to be there for that show. 100.
Yes, I want to thank to the people that called in, Sammy Brooks, Naomi Banks, and Sierra Divide calling in to congratulate. I would have had more, but a lot of people were very busy or couldn't do it at that time. But I thank everybody. One of my most downloaded episodes in a while. So I kind of thank everybody for all that. I appreciate that.
Beautiful. And congratulations to James Acevedo, our producer extraordinaire and host extraordinaire. On Dial Out Radio. Tune in to Hot Sugar tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with my co-hosts and Dan Morrell, Miss O.D., and Ari Good.
Love Ari Good. Love her.
Love Ari
Good.
We'll see everybody later tonight.
And
this has been another SLV show on Dial House Radio. Shout out to the comic, Adam P. Parsons.
Adam
P. Parsons. We'll see everybody next week at 6 p.m.
Yes. And as always, ladies and ladies.